You're listening to a sermon from First Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. For more gospel-centered resources and to learn about our church, visit www.fbcminneapolis.org.
Those of you in the live stream, thanks for engaging around that question. There are so many good things that can recharge us, and I think in a Minnesota winter, it's important that we know what those are for each of us. One of the things our family enjoys doing is trying to get outside, no matter how cold it is. Something about being outside just refreshes us and gives us just a little bit better disposition with each other in our home. And so we like getting outside. Hopefully you have some things to recharge you. As I said already, my name's Jeremy. I'm the pastor here, and I'm glad that you've joined us this morning. I want to say welcome, especially to those of you who are guests with us this morning. Thanks for joining us, whether you're in the sanctuary or on the live stream, and in particular, those of you who do not claim a faith in Jesus today. We're glad that you are here. We count it a privilege that you would join us this morning. So thank you for being with us. As a church, we exist to see weary lives renewed through relationship with Jesus in the Twin Cities and beyond. That's what we're here for. That's what we're doing together. Whether that weariness comes from the brokenness of the world, the busyness of life, or the idols that we cling to, we believe that lives are renewed through relationship with Jesus. What matters most about us as a result of that mission is that we love Jesus. That's the most important thing about us, who has died for us in our brokenness and who calls us to find peace and purpose in Him. And so we invite you together to find our hope in Jesus. Our invitation to you will be to pursue Jesus with us as we seek to be with Him together, to be sent by Him, and to become like Him in all of our lives. And so if you do not know Jesus like that today, we hope to invite you to follow Him with us. And for all of you who are gathered, may the songs that we sing together, the prayers that we pray, and the Word of God preached over you be a source of strength and joy for you. So thanks for being with us. If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew 11, that's where we'll be this morning. Maggie read the passage earlier, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. So if you want to begin flipping there, we do begin a new series this morning as we start this new year. It's a five-week series that we've called Identity, Our Mission and Values. It's a pretty straightforward title for the series this time. As the title would suggest, we're going to spend 5 weeks talking about our mission and our four stated values as a church. And today we'll begin with our mission. So this will not be a sermon exclusively on Matthew 11, 28 through 30, but this passage that I'll read from gives us some of the language that we use in our mission statement, some of the kind of idea that undergirds how we talk about our mission. Now, this passage, one of the unique things about it is it's the only place that Jesus uses the phrase or the language to tell us what's in His heart. In all four Gospels, Jesus only one time says what is in His heart. And we'll see that the phrases He uses are gentle and lowly. This is who He is in His heart. We read a lot about Jesus in the Gospels. We learn a lot about who He is and what He is doing, what He teaches. This is the only place where He says, this is what's in my heart. And so as it relates to our mission statement, let's begin with Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I'll read, you can all follow along. Hopefully, if you have a Bible at home, you've gotten that, or you've got one in your hand, or it will be on the screen beside me. And it says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you. We thank you that in seeing our need, you sent your Son, who came as the Word incarnate to live and to dwell among us, that through His perfect life and His resurrection, we can find life ourselves. We thank you for the gift of your Word, that we can reflect upon it, that in it you tell us about who you are and what you're doing in the world and what you call us to as people. And so this morning, as we open your Word and as we talk together about our mission, we ask that you would be glorified, that you would be made much of, that we would see Jesus and the gospel clearly together, and that it would change us right here, right now, by your Spirit, that you would change us as you impart upon us the mission that you've called us to. And I pray that as I preach, God, that I would be humble, that I would be lowly before you, that I would make much of Jesus, that as I preach, I would fade from view, that I would be just a simple messenger calling all of us to look to the one in whom we can find rest for our souls. And so as I preach, God, would the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you were having a conversation with my wife and you asked her about me, about her spouse, there are some typical answers that she might give. And, you know, if you're married in the room and you've talked about your spouse, you might know what I'm talking about. There's these similar sorts of things. And so my wife, Megan, might begin by telling you about the fact that I'm from Becker, Minnesota, in central Minnesota. She might share about my family. I grew up in a loyal and a loving home, albeit there were some challenges that happened in my childhood. She might share about some of those things, or that tell you what my profession is, that I'm a pastor, or that I went to school at North Dakota State University and eventually Bethel Seminary. She might tell you where we live, or what my favorite hobbies are, or that I'm 5'9", with blue eyes, a beard, and dark hair. She might tell you this information about you, about me. These are pretty common answers. But if you wanted to know more, if you didn't just want information about me, but you wanted to know me, you might ask some different questions. You might try to drill into some of my personality and who I am. And so Megan might tell you that I'm extroverted and competitive and optimistic. She might tell you about some of the things that she loves about me, that each morning I bring her coffee in bed. Or she might tell you about some of the things that annoy her about me, that I make incessant noise at home, often whistling. Maybe you'd want to get even deeper. She might share about some of my greatest fears or my deepest idols or my biggest dreams. But if you want to know someone and not just about them, then you want to get to their heart. You want to understand who they are on a deeper level. And as it relates to our church, the same goes for us. If you were asked about our church, you might tell someone that we're located on 1021 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis. Or you might tell them a little bit about our history and that we started in 1853. Maybe you would describe a particular program or ministry that you're excited about, like missions or our intern cohort or kinship or kids ministry or community groups. You might describe our beautiful sanctuary that we gather in. You might tell them about your pastor or about some of your friends here. But if someone wanted to really know who we are as a church, not just about us, but who we are, we'd want to describe to them our mission and our values. And then beneath them, how they shape our purpose and our culture as a church. And so we're going to spend the next 5 weeks talking about our mission and our values as a church. 3 weeks ago, we voted together as a church to change our name from First Baptist Church to River City Church. And currently our plan is to make that change public, official, etc., on Easter this spring. And as we move toward that date, we want to help our entire church family know how to talk about who we are, not simply our location or a program, but deeper than that. We want our church to be able to articulate our mission and our values, and this will hopefully bring clarity and unity to us as a church as we move toward changing our name to River City Church. And so, what is our mission as a church? Well, first, let me explain that every church has the same basic mission. Every church has the same basic mission. It was given to us by Jesus in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." In one way or another, every Bible-believing, gospel-proclaiming church will have the same mission, to go and make disciples, and then do two things with those disciples. One, baptize them. This would be the mark of a new person trusting in Jesus, and then joining the family of God through the waters of baptism. And then second, teaching them then to observe all that Jesus has commanded. See, once someone has trusted in Jesus and joined the family through baptism, then we teach them how to follow Jesus and to obey his commands. So in one way or another, this is every local church's mission. However, each local church might express it in its own unique way. And so then, how do we describe our mission? Why do we exist? What are we doing? Well, we say it this way. We exist to see weary lives renewed through relationship with Jesus in the Twin Cities and beyond. Now, I'm gonna read that again. This time, I want you to read it with me. Okay, if you're on the live stream, say it out loud at home. Kids, if your parents aren't saying it out loud, you know, encourage them to do so. In the room, say it with me. So I'm gonna read it again, and we'll repeat it together. We exist to see weary lives renewed through relationship with Jesus in the Twin Cities and beyond. This is short enough for you to memorize. And I would encourage you that by the time we change our name to River City Church, that you would make it an effort to do so. You'll hear it enough times on a Sunday morning and throughout the week that hopefully you'll have the chance to do it. So please memorize this together. My goal today is to help you understand this mission statement so that you would know what language we use to describe who we are as a church, so that you internalize not simply our address in Minneapolis, but that you would embrace our mission in the world. And so let's walk through the different phrases of this statement together. And we'll begin with those to whom our mission is targeted. These two words, weary lives. Who do we want to see renewed in relationship with Jesus? Those with weary lives. Now, the translation that I read from uses the phrase, all who labor. There are other translations, though, that in that same place, like the NIV or the NASB, will use the phrase, all who are weary. Both phrases capture the same basic idea that Jesus is intending. He's trying to tell people that there are those in the world who feel weary, who feel their weariness. He's inviting them to come to him. There are those who labor, and that labor leaves them tired and worn out. Joseph Hart seized upon this feeling that is common to all as he penned the hymn, Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Needy, in 1759. It says, Come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. Come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you will never come at all. So when we say weary lives, we are describing all of humanity. Whether you're ready to admit it or not, we are all weary and heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. You see, right before Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 11, he was giving this scathing critique to those who refused to acknowledge their need for a Savior. In verse 20, he begins to denounce those cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they do not repent. And in verse 21, he says, Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. So when Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, he's giving this qualifying statement about who he wants to come. But it isn't that there are some who are weary and heavy laden and there are others who are not. The distinction is between those who are ready to see and acknowledge their weariness and those who are not. It's not a difference in reality, it's a difference in understanding. The Bible makes it clear. No one is exempt from this need. In fact, all world religions and basic worldviews or systems of life are ultimately trying to answer this same question. What do we do about the brokenness in the world? There's brokenness inside of me. What do I do about it? There's brokenness in the world. What do we do about it? Each religion, though, will have a different answer. It offers a different life script to follow. Well, Jesus' answer is that we come to him. It is in him that we will find rest for our souls. He is gentle and lowly in heart. His invitation is to take his yoke upon us and learn from him. So when we talk about our mission as a church, this is the tip of the spear. We are inviting weary lives to be renewed in relationship with Jesus. Our invitation is that our neighbors and our loved ones and people throughout our city and our world find rest for their souls in Jesus. Continuing with this problem, weary lives, the most fundamental way that everyone in the world is weary and broken is not outside of them, but inside of them. Everyone has inherited a distorted view of God and of life. We are all under the plague of disordered desires and destructive habits. We call this idolatry and sin. The Bible says we all have it, And as a result, we are all at odds with God and apart from Christ. And we are wearied by the burden of the fall. Therefore, one way that our mission expresses itself in the world is to invite those who are far from Christ to come into relationship with Jesus. This is the first weariness that must be addressed. The fundamental weariness is our slavery and our bondage to our idols and our sin. Therefore, the first renewing that must happen is the new life that we can have in Christ through repentance and faith. But even when we have trusted in Jesus, we still experience the burden of the fall. And we believe that relationship with Jesus is the fundamental way that we experience rest for our souls. In the midst of life's labor and heavy burden, one of the reasons this phrase, weary lives, fits our context and our mission so well is that we see the weariness in the world all around us. Jesus here, he describes both those who are exhausted from their own exertion and those who are burdened by the world around them. All those who labor is meant to describe the weariness of our own efforts, and all those who are heavy laden describes the burden of the world around us. Even for those who have trusted in Jesus, we still will feel this in our lives. We will feel it each day, each week, we will still feel it. It's seen all over society. Politically, most people in America feel remarkably underrepresented right now. The More in Common study that was done just a few years ago found that the overwhelming majority of Americans fall into what has become known as the exhausted middle. The political conversation is dominated by the extreme ends, and somewhere around two-thirds of people fall into an underrepresented majority. The public conversation has left people feeling weary and heavy laden. It is seen in our economics. The Pew Research Center released an article in 2016 titled America's Shrinking Middle Class. They found that 9 in 10 metropolitan areas saw a shrinking middle class, and I can imagine that's only gotten worse over the last year. The ability for a family to live on an average income is becoming more and more difficult, and many of you feel the pinch each time you go to the grocery store. Each time you send in your mortgage payment, people feel weary and heavy laden by their financial situation. It is also seen in the moralism of our religious institutions as much as it is in the anxiety that people feel about whether they will use politically correct language to describe someone's race. People feel condemned by legalistic religion as much as they feel condemned by woke progressives. Moralistic superiority leaves us feeling weary and heavy laden. Addiction rates are on the rise. I just got an email a month ago telling me that in Minnesota, deaths due to drug overdose have risen 31% in the past 6 months. And among those between ages 25 and 34, it was up by 58%. We see this also in our mental health. Our mental health ratings are at the lowest level they have been in decades within our country. Each year since 2001, Gallup has done an assessment of America's mental health ratings. And at the close of 2020, it had reached an all-time low. And every single demographic group saw a decrease in their mental health rating except for one. In Jesus' call to come to him, he was not distinguishing between those who are weary and heavy laden and those who are not, but between those who are willing to admit that they are and those who are not. And the invitation is to come to Jesus to find rest for your soul. Which is why our mission statement continues then with the solution for these weary lives. We exist to see weary lives what? What do we want for these weary lives? We exist to see weary lives renewed through relationship with Jesus. You see, everyone feels the weariness, but not everyone has the same answer. So what is the solution to our weariness? What do we do about it? We see Jesus' answer in Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus doesn't say that if you come to him, everything will be easy forever. He doesn't say that you are guaranteed immediate rest from the physical toil of the world. He promises rest for your soul right in the middle of the toil of life. He invites you to take his yoke upon you. Now, yoke would have been, it was a word that was used to describe kind of a device that would be used to hook one oxen to another or to a plow or some other farming device. The imagery would have been thought of like a burden. But Jesus is playing on these words. He's saying that his yoke is like a non-yoke. My yoke is not hard, it is easy, Jesus is saying. My burden is not heavy, it is light. I heard it described this way recently. It is like we are all drowning in the middle of the sea, and a rescue boat comes to save us, and they toss us a life preserver. They tell us to put the life preserver on. The invitation is to saddle ourselves with something that will ultimately save us. In that way, the burden of the life preserver is not a burden at all. It is, in fact, salvation for those who are drowning. Jesus, he sees us drowning. We are weary and heavy laden, wounded and broken from the fall. And Jesus says, come to me. Take my burden upon you. It is not heavy. It is light. In fact, it is your very life. Now, can you imagine someone drowning out at sea, looking at that life preserver and then saying, no, thank you. I'm already burdened by my wet clothes. I am weary from all the waves. I am laboring to stay above water, and I am heavy laden from all that already wants to pull me under. Do not burden me with one more thing. That would be a fundamental misunderstanding of the life preserver. It is no burden to strap ourselves to it. In fact, it is our source of life. This happens with Jesus all the time. We look at Jesus and say, I don't want another burden. Can't you see I'm already struggling under the weight of my bills? I'm burdened by the responsibilities of my relationships. I am weary from all the rules that religion and society have given me. I am laboring to keep from drowning under the anxiety that threatens to pull me under. I don't want another burden. But what Jesus offers is not heavy. It is light. It is not stifling, but it is life-giving. If you feel weary and heavy laden, Jesus says, come to him, and you will find rest for your souls. At our core, this is our mission, to call people to find their rest and their refreshment in Jesus, to help people admit that they are weary, and then to show them the one to whom they can go. We are calling all those who know their need to find their hope in Christ Jesus. But there's a lot of noise around us, a lot that distracts us. And so we are working hard at our mission against the innumerable alternatives that are campaigning to offer the solution to the problem. And every single one is offering peace and purpose apart from the presence of Jesus. But there is no peace apart from Christ's presence. And anyone who wants to offer you rest for your soul and doesn't offer it by pointing you to the presence of Jesus, they are offering you a false hope. And the result will be a new and burdensome labor that will not bring life. Our mission is to call weary lives to be renewed through relationship with Jesus. And in relationship with Jesus, we have renewed purpose for our lives. After we have come to Jesus to find rest for our souls, after we have learned to continue coming to Jesus in response to our weariness, we find purpose for our lives. God has called us to good works, and he's prepared them for us. Jesus isn't calling us to himself just so we can laze about, but to find true rest for our souls as we do the good work that he's prepared for us. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10 says this, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." You've probably heard verses 8 and 9 before. We talk about it a lot. It's a really important passage to understand what salvation is, that we come to our salvation, to our life, by faith, by grace, in Christ, nothing that we've done in of ourselves. But have you read verse 10? This brings the purpose that comes right after our salvation. Verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." People want purpose. You, me, our neighbors, and our loved ones, we want purpose. Whether the young professional in their first job, the empty nester, who after having kids in the home for 20 years or more is wondering, well, what do the next 20 years look like? The young mom who is juggling responsibilities with kids and home and life and work. As we labor in life, Jesus brings purpose right in the middle of where we are. We are God's workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. If you are in Christ, then your life is not simply in a holding pattern until you get into heaven. God has good works for you to do right now, and it comes through the renewing effect of our relationship with Jesus. And so we will invite people to find peace and purpose through the presence of Jesus. And now the last six words of our statement describe the scope and context of our mission in the Twin Cities and beyond. Where are we going to call weary lives to be renewed in relationship with Jesus? What's the context of that? Well, it's across the street and around the world. We will reach near with the gospel, and we will reach far with the gospel. In Acts 1:8, Jesus gave his disciples instruction about the scope of the mission when he said, in Acts 1:8, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." If you're not familiar with the geography of first century Palestine, this list moves outward and grows in its scope and its scale. Jerusalem, and then outward to Judea, and then outward to Samaria, and then outward to the ends of the earth. A modern parallel might be like saying in the Twin Cities and in Minnesota and the Midwest and the ends of the earth. And so we care about your neighbor that lives by Lake Nokomis, and we care about the refugee and immigrant in London who will have the opportunity to hear the gospel from the work of one of our missionaries. We care about Fair School across the street, and we care about the pastor training school that the Cabreras helped to run in Costa Rica. We care about the racial inequity that exists in our city, and we care about the injustice of slavery that exists throughout the world. Jesus said to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, as a single local church, we cannot have a role to play among every single people group on earth, but we have a responsibility to our own local context in the Twin Cities, and we have a role to play in partnership with our many missionaries as we seek to reach those who are weary and heavy laden around the world. And whether they are near or far, our invitation is to find rest and refreshment in Jesus. Now, I want to say so much more about this particular dynamic, but it's closely tied to one of our values, and so you'll get a whole sermon on it in just a few weeks. But where I want to end is in the first two words of our mission statement. We'll end where it begins. These two words, "we exist." You see, as we do this, I want to ask you to pause for a moment and imagine a future with me in which this mission is evident here. Everything that you've just heard me describe is being accomplished. In fact, I know I did this last week. I'm going to ask you to do it again. Even close your eyes, if you will, if it will help you to imagine this future. I won't do this every week, but close your eyes with me one more time. Imagine just a few years from now. Imagine that everything that I've spent the last 25 minutes describing to you becomes reality. Imagine that you walk in here on a Sunday. What do you see? What does it feel like? What has God done? Think about the ways that our church has contributed to our city. People who are weary and burdened find their peace and their purpose in the presence of Jesus. We've been able to help step in and serve the needs of Fair School. Our church has been invested in the process of healing the wounds of racial inequity and division. Marriages are healed. Children are being discipled. New professionals are finding a church family. And baby boomers are invested in kingdom work throughout our city. All while we have trained and sent ministry leaders and missionaries all throughout the world. What else is happening in your own mind's eye? What else do you see? What is the impact of weary lives being renewed through relationship with Jesus in the Twin Cities and beyond? And now, stop and consider this question. As you imagine this future, where were you? Did you see yourself? When you thought about the impact and ministry of this church, who was doing it? Were you a part of it? Or was someone else doing it? Did you see me doing the work, or maybe another elder, or a deacon, or a staff member, or a community group leader? Now, I'm pressing you on this because our mission statement begins with the two words, "we exist." That is no accident. It doesn't read, "Jeremy exists to," or "the staff exists to," but we exist. As you picture a future in which our church is faithfully engaged in our mission, do you see yourself as part of it? If not, what needs to change for you to see yourself as part of the "we" who exist for this mission together? Over the last couple of years, we have spent significant time engaged in internal processes and conversations. And it's taken a great deal of energy for us to have these significant decisions made together. And I believe necessary energy. But it's also created some angst in people who want to see our church more engaged in ministry activity. I've heard people say, "When are we going to begin to do some ministry?" And on the one hand, I love the question. I love the desire. We have a mission to see weary lives renewed through relationship with Jesus. Now, each of the steps that we've taken, I think, is important to support that mission, but it requires more than internal conversations as a church. And so I love the angst and the question. I feel it with you. And on the other hand, when we drill down into that question, for some, not for all, but for some, maybe even a majority, we will often find that the real question being asked is something more like, when are the staff and elders and deacons and leaders going to plan a ministry program or event for me to participate in? And here's what I want to say to everyone. Dear saint, covenant member of our church, you are the primary ministry expression of our church. It's you. In your everyday life, that is the primary ministry of our church. When you think about the mission of our church, do you see it as me trying to accomplish this mission among the 200 people who call our church home? Or do you see the mission including the network of people that those 200 are connected to? Some simple math would tell us that if each of those 200 has a meaningful relationship with 20 others, that's 4,000 people that our church is connected to. Is the mission of our church to the 200 who call our church home? Or is it to the 4,000 connected through a network of relationships? Or the 20,000 that live within a half mile of our building? Or the 3 million that live throughout the Twin Cities? Or to one of the 7,000 unreached people groups around the world? Our mission happens when we do it together. It happens when common people do common things with gospel intentionality, and that is you and that is me. Who exists to see weary lives renewed? We exist to see weary lives renewed through relationship with Jesus in the Twin Cities and beyond. That is our mission together. When someone asks you about your church, rather than simply sharing where it's located or sharing the name, what if you said that our church is all about seeing weary lives renewed in Christ? What if you shared that we want to help people find peace and purpose through the presence of Jesus? What if you didn't just tell them about our church, but you told them the heart of our church? We exist to see weary lives renewed through relationship with Jesus in the Twin Cities and beyond. And may it be so.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from First Baptist Church. If you found this resource helpful, we encourage you to share it with your friends and family. We exist to see lives renewed through relationship with Jesus in the Twin Cities and beyond.